So, Om Agyanat Manandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagarjatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Prajna Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakans Vitam Scha Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Brishubhanu Sudadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shadwaiti Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 6 Chapter 9 The Appearance of the Demon Vritrasura Text number 11. Hataputra satas twashta Juhavendraya Shatrave Indra Satro Vivaradasva Machiram Jahi Vidvisham Hataputra. After Vishwarupa was killed, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. After Vishwarupa was killed, his father, Twashta, performed ritualistic ceremonies to kill Indra. He offered oblations in the sacrificial fire, saying, O enemy of Indra, flourish to kill your enemy without delay. Do you have a translation or is it just English? Just English? Purport. Oh, let's repeat this. After Vishwarupa was killed, purport, there was some defect in Twashta's chanting of the mantra because he chanted it long instead of short. And therefore the meaning changed. Twashta intended to chant the word Indra Kshatro, meaning, O enemy of Indra. In this mantra, the word Indra is in the possessive case, Shasti. And the word Indra Kshatro is called a Tatpurusha compound, Tatpurusha Samasa. Unfortunately, instead of chanting the mantra short, Twashta chanted it long, and its meaning changed from the enemy of Indra to Indra, who is an enemy. Consequently, instead of an enemy of Indra's, there emerged the body of Vritrasura, of whom Indra was the enemy. The verse again. Hataputra satas twashta juhavendraya shatrave Indra shatra vivardasva machiram jahi vidvisham. After Vishwarupa was killed, his father, Twashta, performed ritualistic ceremonies to kill Indra. He offered oblations in the sacrificial fire, saying, O enemy of Indra, flourish to kill your enemy without delay. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna. Sometimes we may wonder about how is it that simply by chanting some words that a person can be born who would be so powerful that he'd be able to fight against Indra. Nowadays, we have no such power, or people don't have such power to affect changes so drastic by simply chanting some words. Or in English they say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names can never harm me. But here we find that words could produce people from sacrificial fires. Words, mantras, could create weapons like a Brahmastra, which were capable of destroying the whole universe. But what is our experience with mantras? The mantra in this age, of course, is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And of course, often the devotees may chant the Hare Krishna mantra, Bahu Janma Kari Yadi Shavana Kirtana, for many, many births. But if one is affected by the 10 offenses, then he won't get love of God, which is the actual object of the mantra. Not exactly similarly, but in the Vedic mantras, unless one perfectly chanted the mantra, one would get a different effect. The point is, though, one would get some effect if one chanted the mantra. But it was not so easy to chant the Vedic mantras. It's not that simply if you had a book and you chanted it, you get the effect. It had to be pronounced, the words, in such a way that the effect would come about. First of all, one would have to learn how to pronounce the Vedic alphabet. And sometimes it would take months before the student would be able to pronounce correctly even one letter of the Vedic mantra, the Vedic alphabet, the Sanskrit alphabet. And in order to chant the Vedic alphabet or the Sanskrit alphabet, it wasn't that anyone could do it. The brahmachari would have to be trained in the Gurukul. Brahmachare Gurukule Vasandanta Guru Arhitam Achavandasavan Nicho Guru Saurida Saurida. The brahmachari would have to have some qualifications. Of course, to go to Gurukul in the first place, it wasn't that everyone went to Gurukul so they can get a job. It wasn't like nowadays people go to school to learn all kinds of useless information so they can demonstrate how they're submissive to the modern materialistic civilization. They can learn any kind of nonsense submissively or unsubmissively, and therefore show their willingness to participate in a meaningless society, simply to get some money for sense gratification. But generally, the children would have to have some brahminical qualification. Sama, dhamma, tapas, socham, shanti, arjumam, evacha, jnana, vijnanam, astikyam, brahma, karma, sabhavajam. To be eligible to go to Gurukul, there had to be some sense and mind control. It wasn't a place to meet girls or girls meet boys and learn how to chemistry in the form of taking drugs. That wasn't the purpose of Gurukul. It was to learn sense mind control, to become submissive, to respect superiors, to become friends with the superiors, many, many qualifications. Because without these qualifications, one would not be able to hear. And if we can't hear, there's no question of chanting. There's no question of living in such a way as to become qualified to chant. Therefore, in the beginning, one would have to have some preliminary qualifications, or else one could not learn anything of any really value. Then, after learning how to chant the mantra properly from a qualified teacher, because unless the teacher knows, then how is he going to tell anyone else? If the teacher doesn't know, then what does he have to convey to anyone? Under the direction of a qualified teacher, one would have to learn the process of how to chant the mantras, beginning with the letters of the alphabet. Then one would have to be tested whether it works or not. The sacrifices, for instance, before a big sacrifice, where tons of gold and jewels, ghee, would be offered, and the sacrifice would go on for many days at least. There would be some priests who would chant the mantras. But before the priest would perform the sacrifice, he'd be tested. Not that they're going to throw gold and ghee and jewels into the fire sacrifice, and at the end nothing happens. The priest would have to show he had some potency. First of all, he would have to light the fire by chanting a mantra. If he can't do that, then there's no question of proceeding any further. If he can't do that, then what to speak of throwing Indra into the fire if he can't even light a fire? Then they take a bull or a cow, an old cow or a bull or a horse, and they cut off its head in this fire sacrifice, and the priest would have to have the potency to rejuvenate the horse or the cow back to life again in a young body. If he couldn't do that, then there was no sense of proceeding any further, because this is the preliminary qualification of properly chanting the mantras. When Arjuna chanted the mantras and produced mountain weapons or produced a hurricane, we may think it's fictitious. It's some story, because we can't do it. We chant a mantra, the only thing that comes out sometimes is just some bad breath. That's the only thing that gets rid of the people. Much of the Vedic literature deals with things which are beyond our experience. Especially in Kali Yuga, practically nothing is within our experience. The only thing within our experience is the Bali concept of life. And even that, people are unaware of. They don't even know when their stomach's full. Only when the food comes out their ears do they get some indication that maybe they're eating too much. Neither were conscious of our own body, nor were conscious of the laws of material nature, what to speak of, how to manipulate them to any degree, or what is the process of learning how to manipulate them. The scientists, they can build some airplane, they can build some computer, they can do something, but generally speaking, these things are not very significant accomplishments, although they require great endeavor on the part of the scientists, but still they haven't produced anything of any real significance. So the point is that by being trained in the Vedic mantras, that the priests were able to effect changes within the material energy. And therefore, by the proper training, by chanting the mantras properly, people who went to them, generally for material things in the beginning, they'd ask for something like wealth, or they'd ask for some health, they'd ask for some different types of material gains. And because the priests were qualified, therefore, they'd actually be able to help the person, and the person would get some wealth, he'd get health, he'd get a wife, he'd get what he asked for. His faith in the Vedic mantras increased. Stephen Kapp, Sri Nandanandana Prabhu, who wrote some books about Vedic culture, he mentions that he was with a friend in South India one time, and his friend got a deep knife cut in his finger. And one lady was standing there, took some mustard seed oil and rubbed it on the cut, which was quite large, and rubbed her hand, her fingers over the cut finger, said a mantra, and the wound closed. Took her hand again and rubbed her hand over, fingers over the wound and said a mantra, and the wound disappeared. So that's called chanting the mantras. Little insignificant indication. In Ayurveda, we've heard there's Dhanvantari mantras, that if you chant them, you can cure people of different diseases. This way, people will develop a little faith. Then, after developing the faith, they would hear, by studying the Vedic literature, that there are heavenly planets, and that if the priests perform certain rituals, you become eligible to go to the heavenly planets. Although the rituals would cost more money, and generally only the kings would be able to afford it, but they were willing to sacrifice the money in order to perform the rituals, and people would participate to get the benefit also. The Vaishyas would give the taxes, the priests would chant the mantras, everyone would benefit, and the result would be there. Sometimes, Vishvamrita, there was one person who had approached Vashistha Muni in order to go to heaven, and he laughed at that person and denied that he was qualified. So he went to Vishvamrita Muni, asked to go to heaven. He sent him to heaven by his mantras, and the demigods said, "You're not qualified," and they threw him back down. And Vishvamrita Muni was insulted, so he threw him back to heaven again. And the demigods threw him down. And it said in the Bhagavatam, he's still kind of hanging in between. So that was the power. So Vishvamrita Muni, he became so agitated by his mantras, by his power, he created another universe. Inconceivable to us, because who can chant, how many of us have experience a person's chanting mantras, Vedic mantras, and getting an effect. So Prabhupada, when he was asked, "What is your mystic power? Can you show us the mystic power?" Prabhupada said, "My mystic power is I've taken all these persons who are addicted to sinful activity and I've changed them into Vaishnavas. And that is principally by the effect of chanting Hare Krishna, this mantra. That even if it's done not in perfect purity, because if things are not in the Vedic mantras, if they're not chanted purely, there's trouble. Ramachandra was traveling in his domain. He found that there was changes in the season, that young people were dying before their fathers were dying. He couldn't ascertain the cause, so he went and investigated and found one Shudra chanting Vedic mantras. So he killed him. The Shudra was qualified enough to actually cause some problem, but he wasn't qualified enough to actually do anything beneficial. We ourselves, if we chant the Vedic mantras, we won't cause any problem, because we won't even when we try and chant the Vedic mantras, we won't be able to do it. It won't, just like we chant Hare Krishna sometimes. Schnick, schnick, ram, ram, day, 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 day. Hey, kitty, kitty, hey, kitty, kitty. So it's not quite the Hare Krishna mantra either. When Lord Krishna went with his army to fight against Pondraka, cut off the head of Pundraka, cut off the head of Kasiraj, his friend, threw Kasiraj's head into the city of Kasi, Varanasi. His son, Sudakshina, became so angry, he performed sacrifice to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva told him to perform another sacrifice. From the sacrifice came a blazing demon. The demon went to Dwarka to burn the city. When Lord Krishna heard about the demon coming to Dwarka to burn the city, he took his Sudarshan disc, threw it at the demon. The demon got burnt. The fiery demon went up in flames. Fled, went back to Kasi, burnt Sudakshina and his Brahmin priest to ashes, and burnt the whole city of Kasi to ashes. Because if the Vedic mantras don't have their effect, if they don't actually have their original effect, they come back and they destroy the chanters. Dangerous to chant the Vedic mantras incorrectly. Fortunately, that's not the same thing for the Hare Krishna mantra. Otherwise, we'd walk into the temple room and we'd find piles of ashes everywhere. Luckily, the Hare Krishna mantra is more lenient. But unless we learn how to chant the Hare Krishna mantra, then it doesn't have an effect. It depends more upon our consciousness and our activities and our knowledge than simply mechanically chanting some words. One can chant the Hare Krishna mantra mechanically, and it will not be visibly noticeable what the effect will be. And of all the different factors, the Siddhanta is the most important. If we don't understand who Krishna is, we don't understand who Srimati Radharani is, we don't understand who we are, we don't understand what this material energy is, if we don't understand these things properly, then we chant Hare Krishna, it won't be very effective. That's called Nama Parad. Without studying Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita from a bona fide spiritual master, one will not know how to chant Hare Krishna. One will not even know that one has to chant the Hare Krishna mantra and pronounce each word. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. If we don't even spend the time to chant the mantra clearly, then where is there any question of sense and mind control, of utilizing this body in Krishna's service? If we can't even use the tongue to chant his name, to pay enough attention to that, then where is there any question of concentrating the mind on Krishna? Or what to speak of giving our love to him. So that's called Nama Parad. If one does not chant the Hare Krishna mantra clearly, then certainly we're committing offense by inattentive chanting at least. Then we have to chant to Srimati Radharani and Krishna. It's a prayer. It is not a mechanical verse that we're saying. It should be done in a prayerful way, calling out to Srimati Radharani and Krishna. If we don't feel that there's any reason to call out to them, well, first of all, if we don't even believe they're existing, or if they are existing, they're not going to hear when I'm chanting to them, then we won't make the effort to call out to them. So we have to have the faith or the experience, or the knowledge, that if we call out to Srimati Radharani and Krishna, they're actually going to be hearing us. And then we have to know what to chant for, what to call out to them for. Not to call out for them, as you've heard many times, give me a house, give me a wife, give me a color TV, Om Jai Jagadisha Hari. Not to call out for them for some material gain, but to lovingly call out to them to engage us in their loving service, to give them our love, our enthusiasm, not for some material exchange, but for a loving exchange. So we chant happily, at least, chant lovingly to Srimati Radharani and Krishna, then the result should be that we actually remember them. That's called Krishna consciousness. We're the international society to become conscious of Krishna. And first of all, we have to hear the name. Not only ourselves chanting the name, but we have to hear others chanting the name also. That's called kirtan. Not that we're the only ones who have a relation with Krishna. Everyone has a relation with Krishna. And we should at least hear the devotees chanting Hare Krishna and appreciate that they're chanting to Krishna. Chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, calling out to Krishna, if we do it with some love, without any material anxiety, we'll become liberated. That's called nishtha. That is the beginning of actual devotional service rather than materialistic service. Materialistic service means chatura vidha bhajante imam janasukitina arjuna arta jignasya artarati gyani cha bharatarshiva. We generally approach Krishna out of distress. What is our distress? Our principal distress is illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and mental speculation and gambling. By regulating these activities, even to some degree, especially grossly, then some of our distress goes away. Of course, the neophyte devotee is still attached to the idea that especially illicit sex can actually bring me happiness. So although I'm restraining my senses, still, I'm still thinking that it would have been better if there were only three regular principles. Namely, no meat, no fish, no eggs. But somehow or another, there are four regular principles. And we think, if only I could enjoy in the material world, if only I had my Radha, or my Krishna to enjoy with, that would make devotional service perfect. That's called sahajiyas. They think like that. But even grossly regulating one's sinful activities, one gets free from a certain amount of distress, and one continues on and tries to make some advancement, one day or gradually, one will realize tuchavat, that this material sense gratification is insignificant. Yadavadi mama cheta krishna padara vinde nava nava rasa daman yujatam rantumasit tatavadi bhatanare sangame smaryamane bhavati mukha vikara shustiv nistivanam cha. Jamunacharya, he said, because of my absorption in Krishna consciousness, therefore I'm relishing ever new pleasure. And whenever I remember my previous engagement in sex life, my lips curl in disgust and I want to spit at the thought. So this is only possible by experiencing transcendental happiness. But in the beginning, there's not so much transcendental happiness. There's simply some ability to get free from sinful activity and therefore some freedom from distress, some liberation from it. Then after one gets comfortable in devotional service, one is not so much hankering for sinful life, then one thinks, let me enjoy in the material life. Let me eat nice food. Let me eat clean, drink clean water. Let me breathe fresh air. Let me actually develop economically. In modern civilization, people are so sinful, so much absorbed in the mode of ignorance, instead of economically advancing, they're degrading economically. The only thing they're producing ultimately is exhaust from their automobiles and other vehicles like these jet planes. They're producing exhaust from their factories, which is contaminating the air. They're blowing out exhaust from their cigarette smoking. They're producing so many contaminations and exhaust, all in the name of advancement. There's no fresh air. The food has become depleted. There is no peaceful life. There is no nice relationships. The actual sense gratification, which comes about by real economic development, that is pure air, pure food, peaceful life, knowledge, nice relationships, this has disappeared. But one with a little knowledge, he learns these things, that this is how to actually enjoy in the material world, so-called enjoy, the mode of goodness. What is real sense gratification? Then, after becoming a little bit more elevated, then one may learn how to get other people. One learns the knowledge of how to control other people in such a way as to benefit them to rise up to a higher platform of knowledge. One can actually affect changes in society so that people in general learn what is the actual process of developing not only materially but also spiritually. Then one can actually liberate oneself and begin to the process of real devotional service. One actually has enough knowledge to chant Hare Krishna in such a way as to remember Krishna. Then from that platform, one can feel Krishna's presence and understand what spiritual life is, a little drop of it. What Daivi Prakriti, Mahatmanas Tumam Partha, Daivi Prakriti Mashritya, Bhajanyananya Manaso, Gyatva Bhutadim Avya. Those are actually great souls who are under the protection of Daivi Prakriti. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. So to actually come under Daivi Prakriti means the platform of Nishta. Of course, it is said in the Nectar of Devotion, by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, by worshiping the deities, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, by serving the devotees, by living in a holy place or making the atmosphere spiritual, even a neophyte can experience ecstasy. That means if we concentrate the mind enough upon Krishna with a proper attitude, then Krishna will reciprocate and will experience ecstasy. But steady ecstasy, becoming under the control of Daivi Prakriti, in a steady way comes after Nishta. And then we can understand what Ruchi is. That is, Ruchi is the beginning of experiencing what Daivi Prakriti really is. And when that becomes intensified, then the pastimes of Krishna are spontaneously remembered, and this whole world is seen as it really is, as the pastime of Krishna. To deliver the conditioned souls from their rebellious condition, elevate them back to pure devotional service. Then, purna vishvam purna sukhayate, the whole world becomes joyful. Vidhi mahendri tis tad kitayate. Vidhi mahendri tis cha kitayate. That even the great demigods and ordinary living entities or even insects, they're all seen as Krishna's eternal servants. Then one's actual identity is awakened at the stage of bhava. and one can begin real life again at the stage of prema. The Hare Krishna mantra can give us the experience of all these different stages gradually. Whether we're just trying to stay above the material energy and avoid sinful life, whether we have enough intelligence how to live life in such a way as to remain relatively free from distress and peaceful and enjoy the senses to the best possible way materially, or we learn how to give others guidance, we have some realization, what is the reality of Krishna consciousness, or we actually know how to establish ourselves on the spiritual platform and then begin actual spiritual life. So the Hare Krishna mantra can elevate us to the spiritual platform and can elevate us from the spiritual platform all the way back to the spiritual world. But that depends upon our hearing. And our hearing depends upon our service. But somehow or another, if we can follow the process of sadhana bhakti, either by force or by willingness, force meaning under the vaidhi sadhana bhakti, just even mechanically chanting Hare Krishna, even mechanically following the sadhana, if we can do that, then there's a possibility of gradually, by good association, raising ourselves to the higher levels of material modes of nature, establishing ourselves on the spiritual level. And when we do that, then devotional service gradually becomes spontaneous and natural. But even at first, it's not so spontaneous. It's not so natural if by good association, good fortune, we follow regulated sadhana, then gradually the power of the Hare Krishna mantra will be revealed to us and our lives will actually become, our spiritual life, our spiritual identity will gradually become reawakened and our actual life will become, or this life will become successful. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a very nice class, particularly on revealing a little bit more about mantras. The position of chanting with attention has been very dear to me ever since joining the ISKCON and wondering how to actually get to that level. Now, I hope this doesn't sound like a long explanation, but my experience of school was that there was, for maths or English, some of those primary subjects, they would set it up that you would have an A, a B, and a C set. And in the C set, you would be studying maths or English at a slower level, at a more accommodating level. You wouldn't be expected to be in the A set. So since coming to ISKCON, I've experienced the position that was, particularly when it comes to chanting attentively, I feel like I'm in the C set. I'm a C set candidate trying to go along with an A set curriculum. So, and what I've seen, the majority of devotees, just from an observational point, appear to be chanting very, very passionately. And there's maybe one or two individuals who can sit underneath that tree in their mind and chant very attentively. And I'm not sure, but we only have 1 hour and 45 minutes to chant from the time first part of the morning program finishes to 7:30. And this is all over ISKCON. And then from that point, the ignition is in and we're already thinking service and so many things. And they say, come to a sandwich program, chant your rounds later in the evening. But it doesn't seem to be going that way. So so many other programs are going on at that point, or expectations, and that might be suitable for a very, very rare few individuals who can understand the A-set mentality. But the majority are just hanging on to people's shirt tails, trying to keep up with the so-called theory of chanting attentively. Just wanted you to comment on that.
Bishav Nivartante Niharasi Dehinam Rasavarjamasop Yasya Pramdrishva Nivartate The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains, but ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, one becomes fixed in knowledge or consciousness. It's not enough to just try and chant mechanically, attentively. One has to understand Krishna. It's not a question of just something mechanical. It's a question of actual faith in Krishna. And without understanding the Siddhanta, it's not possible to actually understand Krishna. And without understanding the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Panchatattva and the six Goswamis and the disciple succession coming from Prabhupada and now his followers, without understanding how to connect with Krishna through the chanting and through service, then one will misunderstand. One will not have the potency. But just if we separate and we think that the chanting is isolated activity from the rest of our lives, and then to sit for an hour and 45 minutes or whatever and try to just mechanically try to hear attentively or chant attentively without understanding the philosophy of what we're doing is not possible. But in order to understand the philosophy, at least to some degree, we have to understand it theoretically at first, and then we have to have a willingness to apply it practically. That unless we're willing to hear, and then unless we're willing to follow, then we have a willingness to hear and follow, some idea will arise within our mind to help us improve our japa. But basically, it's very simple. But because we're very complicated, and the material world is very complicated nowadays, because everything's so complicated, things that are simple appear complicated. Therefore, my conclusion is, we ourselves have to realize by our own practical activities, our own trying to hear, especially study Prabhupada's books, try to follow the teachings of Prabhupada, try to hear the realizations that Prabhupada's followers have, practically apply these things within our life, come to the point of chanting Hare Krishna with attention and love, not only just attention, but at least happiness. There has to be some love and happiness, because although attention is also part of love, but with that love, attention becomes almost impersonal. So without loving Krishna, without understanding how lovable Krishna is, without understanding how lovable his representatives are, we should give our love, then we may be just chanting for some other reason, and Krishna won't reciprocate. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. I'm hearing that. The defect is understood. It's about how ISKCON accommodates people at different level. Like I was giving the example of schools, that they have a CSET which says, look, you need 2.5-3 hours to chant properly. We're not going to stop your passionate activities. We're going to make that time available for you. But that's not happening. So
no, I understand. Just I understand. Up, you know. We have to understand that it depends not only on the leadership to understand properly how to organize things, which is important, to understand the nature of their students and how to properly engage them. And then it depends also on the willingness of the students to be properly engaged. Therefore, if we look at Prabhupada, who was a perfect teacher and had to teach imperfect students, maybe we can learn some lesson that Prabhupada sometimes had to be accommodating for the imperfections of his students and couldn't set up a perfect school when he had perfect, imperfect students. The school was already perfect. But it's a fact, if the leadership becomes more discriminating, more enlightened and enlivened, then they'll know how to better engage their students and maybe how to encourage their students to come to a higher level of aspiration. But that we have to see. But that depends on practical advancement, both on the part of the students and on the part of the leadership also, to understand things, see things properly by realization. Prabhupada said that one should organize his life so that in such a way that throughout the 24 hours a day, one cannot help but think about Krishna. And the result is that Krishna says that one is guaranteed that he'll come to Krishna. Now, I myself don't organize my life in such a way as that throughout the 24 hours a day, I cannot help but think about Krishna. And I have disciples. So how much, only to the degree that I'm able to do it, can I help my disciples do it? Or anyone else I'm preaching to. So therefore, it's a question of our becoming better organizers. At the same time, the students, if they're satisfied with the level of organization, they don't want a better level of organization. If the organizers become too strict, then they don't want to be in the movement. They didn't come here for such strictness. Therefore, there is a certain amount of reciprocation with Krishna going on, which goes beyond our level of realization. But if we try sincerely ourselves to make some advancement, then Krishna will help us not only become more encouraged ourselves, if we become a better instrument. We can show practically to the leaders how to better organize, and we can show to the followers also how to become a better follower. So principally it depends upon our example, either as a leader or as a follower, how to set the example for others. And of course, if we have some realization, that realization, if we express it, should be sufficient in itself to enlighten and enlighten others. If we ourselves have created a sufficient example for others that they respect us and they're anxious to hear from us, and we have a realization, then we can effect a change in others by their seeing our example and their hearing our realization. But if we ourselves are not we don't have the relationship with others, that they're actually anxious or willing to hear from us, no matter how nicely we think we can organize everything, we won't be able to do it. So there are many factors. We shouldn't be satisfied with the way ISKCON's going. ISKCON is meant to save the world. Right now, we can hardly save ourselves in most parts of the world. Here, in India, of course, there's greater numbers because people have taken birth in India. One reason is they've taken birth to participate in the Hare Krishna movement. Obviously, India is still Punya Bhumi. But still, now they want a house, a wife, and a color TV, or a house by the sea. So therefore, they may take to the Hare Krishna mantra to get something they can't ordinarily get also, the Hare Krishna movement. So there may be many reasons why people join the Hare Krishna movement. But it's not so simple to think that it's going to be, ISKCON is going to change all of a sudden and that there's some magical formula. It's there in Prabhupada's books. It's there by Prabhupada's example. It's there by many of Prabhupada's followers also, Prabhupada's disciples and his grand disciples or his great-grand disciples. It's there, but we have to see it, take it up ourselves, gain enough realization by the mercy of Krishna and his followers, and then we can make some change in the society, either individually or collectively. But it depends upon realization, and it depends upon following the best we can, sincerity. Yes.
Maharaj, this precise chanting of mantras like Indra Shatroho, was that also required for the Tretayam Yajito Makhai in the yagyas which are performed to satisfy the Supreme Lord? Or is it only for the Karmakanda section? That means in Trita Yuga, performing yagyas and chanting mantras of the Yuga Dharma for everyone. So for that also, this precise chanting was required, or it is mainly for Karmakanda section?
No, it's always precise chanting is required if you want an effect. Precise chanting is not something, it may be something mechanical, but it can't be completely mechanical. Unless one goes through the austerity and the required process, one cannot chant the Hare, any mantra properly. It's not something mechanical. When they chanted to Lord Shiva the mantras in the Karmakanda section or Durga, they had to believe that there was a Shiva or a Durga. It doesn't work if you don't believe in the person. There had to be faith in the deity. There had to be discipline, sense and mind control. Even the demons had to have sense and mind control. Otherwise, Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, they had enough sense and mind control that they were able to... Hiranyakashipu stood on the tips of his toes for 120 years of the demigods. It wasn't that he was some ordinary person. Just by accident, he got some extraordinary power. It's by extraordinary activities. So that required faith. No one's going to stand there with their arms outraised. The insects and the moss are eating your body. You're only left with bones. You're living in your era of life is in the bones. Unless you had some faith that there was something, you know, I'm going to get something from this.
My question was that the shloka in the Vishnu Puran, that whether you chant Vishnaya or Krishnaya, it is the bhava grahi janardana. The Lord sees only the bhav. So
that's if you have bhav. That's if you actually have bhav. Krishna understands the sincerity, but we shouldn't do anything and think I have bhav, therefore I can do whatever I want, and that's bhav. No, we have to follow the disciplic succession. We have to follow the instructions. And then even if there's some mistake, even if we can't chant properly, if we're trying to do it to please Krishna, Krishna will understand our sincerity to try and please him. But that also means practically following his instructions through disciplic succession. So now that we change the mantra, or we add more mantras, or do this or that, first of all, strictly follow, especially what Prabhupada gave us, through the disciplic succession, then Krishna Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. If we're really sincere, then, like in Prabhupada's case, he changed things slightly because he knew how to spread Krishna consciousness. So to actually spread Krishna consciousness, he as a sannyasi, began to marry householder couples because there was no chance, there's no other possibility. There's no other alternative. So he did it. Although it wasn't, sannyasi didn't generally engage themselves in marriage ceremonies previously. But Prabhupada understood the essence, and therefore he was able to effect changes and not get caught. Catch the big fish and don't get caught. We ourselves make changes whimsically. Well, not only won't we get the big fish, but we'll get all wet. So we have to be a little careful. Thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Haribol.